Hey friends, welcome to the Drivecast, a daily podcast designed to help us read it in, pray it up, and live it out. My name is Dan, and I serve as the teaching pastor for our Worthington campus. Today, we're coming to the end of our series in James, looking at James chapter 5. We're going to be in verses 17 and 18 today. You know, most of us have a complicated relationship with prayer. If you've been a Christian for any length of time, you've probably heard that prayer is powerful. You've heard it might be the most important resource we have. We know intellectually that prayer is how we communicate with God. We know that we are invited to speak with God at any time. We believe He's waiting to hear from us, that He, as the Psalms say, bends His ear to hear our every word. It truly is a staggering privilege when you stop and think about it. Direct, unfiltered communication with the living God. And yet, if we're honest, it often doesn't feel that powerful. I mean, prayer can feel abstract, can feel like we're just talking to the ceiling, can feel like we're failing at it, or that our prayers are just bouncing off the wall. James knows this. He's writing to people scattered, suffering, and struggling. And right before our passage today, he gives all this practical advice. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone sick? Let him call for the elder of the church and let them pray over him. He's trying to build their confidence. He's trying to show them that prayer isn't just a last resort. It's the main work of the people of God. And to prove his point, he gives them an anchor for their faith. He reaches back into their shared story and pulls out a giant. He pulls out the prophet Elijah. Here's our text for today, James 5, verses 17 and 18. It says this: Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and that earth produced its crops. Now, we have to stop and ask, why did James pick Elijah? More importantly, why did he start with that example, with the phrase, Elijah was a human being just as we are? See, he said that because he knew exactly what we would do. We would hear the name Elijah, we would immediately put him on a spiritual pedestal. We think, well, of course his prayers work. He's Elijah. He's a capital P prophet. He called down fire from heaven. He was a spiritual superhero. And James knocks that pedestal right over. He says, nope, he was a human just like you. Elijah was a man. He got tired. He got depressed. In fact, right after his greatest victory, we find him hiding in a cave, completely turned and burned out, asking God to just end it. He got hungry. He had anxieties, he had frustrations, he was human. His power didn't come from his super spirituality. His power came from his persistent and his dependent nature on a powerful God. James says he prayed earnestly. This wasn't a casual, hey God, if you have a minute. This was a focused, faith-filled, persistent leaning in, and God heard him. Now, we have to be careful here. This isn't a magic formula. Prayer isn't a vending machine where we put in the right words and God is obligated to give us what we want or even what we've just asked for. See, you know, we talked about God always hears us, but his answer often comes in his time. Sometimes the answer is yes, and it's amazing. Sometimes the answer is no, and it can be painful. But it's where we learn to trust his sovereignty. And sometimes, maybe most of the time in our lives, the answer is wait. Elijah prayed for the rain, for it not to rain, and it stopped for 3.5 years. That's a long wait. But during that wait, God was doing something. He was providing for Elijah by a raven-fed brook. He was providing for a widow in a foreign land. He was working his plan. The waiting isn't empty space. The waiting is where our faith gets muscles. It's where we learn to rely on his plan, not our own. It's where our relationship with him deepens because we have to keep coming back, keep talking, keep listening. This kind of communication, this real, honest, persistent relationship, it takes faith, focus, and persistence. But the more we talk to God, the stronger our faith becomes, and the more we begin to recognize his voice when he speaks. This all really shapes how we should approach God. We don't come as superstars. We come just as we are, human, like Elijah. So now, let's take a moment and do that together. Let's pray it up. Let me share this prayer request or prayer with you, and you may be able to pray back these themes as I share them. Father, we come to you now, acknowledging that we are, just as James said, human. We are so often busy, distracted, and if we're honest, frequently discouraged. We want to believe in the power of prayer, but sometimes it feels hard. So first, God, we ask for the courage to start. Give us the courage of Elijah, not to command the skies, but just to bring our real, honest, and sometimes messy prayers to you consistently. Help us to go through all of this without holding any of ourselves back from you. The fear that we're doing it wrong, the cynicism that it doesn't matter, or the noise of our own to-do lists. Lord, we desire a deeper relationship with you. We want to know you more. So please, we ask that you would help us be persistent. And while we are persistent, give us patience. We are so used to distant prayers that feel like we are distant from you. And yet, Lord, help us when we get frustrated while we wait. And as we wait for your answers, whether they are yes, no, or not yet, help us to humbly accept your sovereign plan. Help us to trust that your will is being done and that you are working good. Your plan is always better than ours, even if we can't see it. Shape us through this process. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. That trust, that patience, that's where the rubber meets the road, which brings us to our final section, to live it out. See, the single biggest obstacle to prayer for most of us isn't a major theological crisis. It's the next notification on our phones. It's the tyranny of the urgent. We get so overwhelmed with the busyness of our days. We have work, we have school pickups, dinner, emails, projects. We tell ourselves, I'll do it later. I'll pray later when I have the perfect, quiet, uninterrupted hour. But that perfect, unhurried time rarely just appears on our calendars. Friends, we have to make it. Like any relationship, our relationship with God doesn't grow on leftover scraps of our time. So here's the challenge this week. It's simple, practical way to jumpstart this rhythm of communication. Let's call it a 7-day prayer experiment. For the next 7 days, I want to challenge you to set 3 alarms on your phone. 9 a.m., 12 p.m., and 3 p.m. And if those don't work, pick times that do. Right, this is an ancient practice, actually, to stop in the beginning of the day, the middle of the day, and the end of the day, and turn our hearts and minds towards God. And when that alarm goes off, the challenge is simple. Stop for 5 minutes. That's it. 5 minutes. Find a quiet spot. Your car, a break room, your office with the door closed, a corner of the house, and just be with God. You don't need a script. You can talk. You can be silent. You can read a psalm. You can just say, God, I'm here and I need you. The point isn't what you do in those 5 minutes. The point is that you do it. The point is to practice stopping, to practice listening, and to remind yourself that God is present in the middle of your ordinary, busy, human day. Elijah's power came from his persistence. This is how we practice persistence, not in a 3.5-year drought, but in 5-minute interruption to our scheduled lives. Let's try this for 7 days and see what God does. Friends, thanks for tuning into the Drivecast. We'll see you back here tomorrow.